Welcome to the Successful Male Podcast. My name is Ron Mahotra. I'm a wealth, success, mindset, and leadership coach and the founder of the Successful Male Movement. In the Successful Male Podcast, we bring inspiring achievers who will help you unlock your inner game changer that wants to play big. The Successful Male Podcast is a show where we highlight the accomplishments of men who are doing amazing things with their life. The show where we share the stories, ideas, and philosophies of highly successful men who went after their goals with courage. The show where we highlight those men who use their highest vision to bring value to others. And the show that seeks not only to motivate and inspire, but transform, so you too can think big, live bigger, and lead with your highest vision. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I hope you find this episode inspirational. Welcome to the Successful Male Podcast. This is Ron Mahotra. I have a very interesting individual that I met some time ago, and with all my studies that I've done on, you know, the mind and the spirit, all relating to human potential, I have come across, I've been very fortunate to talk to a lot of experts who specialize in helping people with peak performance and tapping into the power of their mind. And, you know, when you're in this space, you come across a lot of people who have some amazing talents and skills which help people tap into their inner powers that they don't even know they have. And one such individual is a person by the name of Jason Reynolds, who I met some time ago. And I remember very distinctly thinking, you know, the stuff that Jason talked about, you could sense the truth without asking for any evidence. And, you know, when I met Jason, I thought, you know, the conversation was around mindset. But then I realized that Jason Reynolds is actually, he goes beyond the mindset, all with the intent of making people realize their truth and realizing what their inner powers are. And one of the things that came up in that conversation was this thing called accessing your signature, your electromagnetic signature, your frequency signature. And the word frequency is something that's becoming more and more part of the mainstream conversation when people are talking about spiritual alignment or they're talking about metaphysical studies. But this is pretty incredible. And I was so impressed with the way Jason articulated what he does and how he helps people that I decided to invite him on my podcast. I'd like to welcome Jason Reynolds. Jason, welcome to the Successful Male Podcast. Great to have you.
Thanks very much, Ron. Thanks for taking the time to have me here.
Mate, you know, I know that you're running this thing called the Quantum Movement. One of the things that strikes me about you is the level of expertise and the depth of expertise that you have, but you don't have an external profile to match that. You keep a very low profile deliberately. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you're doing.
My focus has always been about the question. It's about not looking for answers, but looking at, I suppose, what exists right now and understanding, I suppose, the potential and the possibility that's available to all of us, and very much the how-to. I think so much of us are caught up in this conversation that we have, what we talk about, the things that we know. To me, the greatest seduction of our capacities is all in the conversation. It's all in what we know. For me, it's about getting to a point of understanding where action becomes an automatic response to life. It's not about being in a reactive state. So I really look at understanding everyone is a unique individual. We've heard this all before, but, you know, we can all align with certain philosophies. But it comes down to each individual, how they can do that for themselves, how they can go beyond what any external teacher is going to provide to them at any time.
I remember distinctly you and I had a conversation around this thing that you said, you know, one of the most important questions in life is, what are we?
Yeah.
And it got me thinking straight away. I said, well, what are we? We are a human being. But then I thought to myself, geez, I just realized I've been told I'm a human being and I have this idea of what it means to be a human being. And immediately when you said to me, you know, what are we? I thought to myself, is it possible that what we think we are, we're not? Or is it possible that we are a lot more than we think we are? And I think that's what, and that's, this is why it's a bit challenging to explain to people what you do. But if I had to really break it down in simple everyday words, I think you really help people understand who they are and their real powers. That's what you really do, isn't it?
Yeah, like, it's, to me, the most important thing is being at ease. It's I believe we're not an energetic being. I don't believe we're a physical being. I believe we're both of those at the same time. Our capacity to be ourselves is how we integrate both of those at the same frequency. And that's when we experience things like ease, confidence, and being able to operate from a singular state. So for me, you know, confidence is something that a lot of people attain to. But the problem with confidence is most people, when they're confident, they're thinking about, when is this going to end? You know, how long can I maintain this for? But confidence is just a response to the alignment between our physical and our energetic states. You know, I got a bit of an Egyptian heritage, but the Egyptians used to talk about spirit and matter. And I think there's a lot of confusion out there in, you know, teachings and mindset, that we've got mind, body, and spirit. And there's a lot of information that ultimately I think confuses people rather than gets into a state of confidence, which is what I believe is, it's that moment, and it's a singular moment where action and awareness become a singular movement. I think for most of us, our consciousness, for me, can be measured to the extent that where we have an awareness and the speed and the time in which we are able to then take action. Because I think it's where the most power is in our own lives, and we've all had this experience of an idea. It's like it explodes within us and it's going to change our life, and we're going to bring a new awareness, not just to ourselves, but to others and the benefits that come. But we dilute that prime awareness in that moment by the time we take to decide why it's not possible, how it's not going to work. And over that time, it gets weaker and weaker and weaker until we eventually get to a point where we have to. For many of us, we don't know how to act by choice and doing things that we'd love to. We'd like to live that way, but we just don't understand the how to. And to me, that's about being at ease, being able to allow information to come to you to respond to it in the moment, but not react to it.
Why is this important? I mean, why are you on this journey? What made you want to even learn about the integration of the physical and the energetic, as you mentioned before? Why? Why is there a need for it now in the world? And why is it that most people, you know, for them, this is esoteric knowledge rather than mainstream knowledge?
I never set out to go down the path. I mean, I was very mathematical, very logical in my thinking in earlier years. But I also always believed in, to me at a young age, I sort of looked at Star Wars like a documentary rather than a movie. I believe when they were talking about this force and this ordered nature that existed around us, to me that was just obvious. So I don't believe there's any sort of upwelling at this point where people are talking about consciousness is now becoming more important. I think what people are becoming is more confused. So there becomes a greater need for consciousness. I mean, to me, one of the greatest things that the greatest limitations that we have is learning through books, through research, through Google, and through external information. We only do that because we don't know how to access what we have inside, and we only experience what we have inside in very random and occasional moments, which is why we don't go back and utilize it consistently and regularly. To me, it comes back to, I mean, there's so many teachings out there, and I used to look at teachings from a point of view, I was exposed to some great teachers. But then I go and apply it, and it'd work initially, you know, with great power, and I'd have a good breakthrough and I would think, wow, this is amazing. But then it wouldn't work consistently. So to me, in a state of truth, the only answer was it doesn't work. And when I say it doesn't work for me. So I would suggest that any teaching that doesn't allow you to apply it consistently and regularly and deliberately, it doesn't work. And don't continue to keep buying into it, because there's an insight within you that's pushing you towards a greater understanding. And to me, the basis of this is the relationship you have with yourself. For many of us, we're so focused on, especially in business, we've got to build relationships with other people. And to me, a relationship with another person, if it doesn't serve the relationship you have with yourself, it weakens you, it limits you, and we become reactive to what other people are going to provide to us in their time, in their manner, and in their way. If we can develop a relationship with ourselves that is consistent, that is solid, we don't need to be reactive to the environment. The environment becomes reactive to us through a real state of clarity of our own self, what we're here for, and what we want to do. But also understanding this is not just one clarified message that we're here to do. There's not a purpose that we all have, I don't believe. My understanding is that's consistently changing, consistently growing. But how do we maintain that relationship throughout that change, throughout that growth? Because I imagine for yourself and many others that have had great success, that success can become their undoing. Because it's when we do hit success and we hit those heightened moments that we go into an unconscious state of inertia. We believe we've made it. We believe we've got somewhere. And the truth is, for some of us, what we do is we celebrate those moments. To me, people celebrate simply because they don't understand how they got there in the first place. But if you had achieved something of significance and you understood exactly how you got there, why wouldn't you keep doing that? The reason why people celebrate in random, in specific moments is because they don't know how they achieved what they did, or otherwise they would continue to keep doing it because it's what they love. I'm not saying to not celebrate. I'm saying you should be celebrating all the time, not just at moments of perceived success, which ultimately leads to moments of depression. And then we wonder what it was, and we have to get down to a state of, let's say, pain or confrontation before we start to create momentum again to move forward. So to me, it's really about how we do things consistently and regularly, but how we do that without being diluted by modeling or copying anyone else.
So let me ask you this. With the law of attraction, I'm sorry to cut you there. I didn't realize that you were still going. Did you want to finish what you were going to say?
No, it's okay. It's okay.
So, you know, we've studied about the law of attraction. You know, the law of attraction says what you think about and you feel about comes about, right? So we know that our feelings are very powerful. And effectively, if your predominant emotional state is what attracts to you events, situations, and people of a like nature, anything that corresponds to your predominant emotional state. And you know, so and correct me if I'm wrong, but and I know that yours, because I mean, when I listen to you, I think, well, you're talking really about how we are vibrationary beings and we can create the results through the vibration that we maintain. And that's why, you know, you talk about going beyond the mind, because it's not just about thinking, it's actually about being. It's not just about thinking consciously and rationalizing and using analysis. It's actually about being the person. So being the essence of the person that you need to be. So you, because that's how the results are formed. It's impossible to create results that are contradictory to your predominant emotional state. What you specialize in is you work out how we interact through our vibration. How do we interact with the external world to produce the results?
Yeah. So the first thing I would say, it's a condition of the frequency, or let's just say the separation that exists between our mind and what we perceive the mind to be, which I'd like to hear anyone's definitive description of the mind. I think that in itself is the greatest confusion. To me, the mind doesn't exist. It's just a reaction and a justification of why we can't be ourselves. It holds a whole body of evidence that determines to us why we're not able to do what we know we can do in our own silence. Now, to me, when we go back to emotions, emotions are just a response to a very lower level state of reaction. And some people experience that through thinking. But an emotion, let's say, at a separated state, we become an emotion. We become excited. We become sad, angry, elated. That's a singular experience of a whole. Now, in a lower state of expression, we don't have the capacity to see things and observe them. We find ourselves experiencing and reacting to them. So emotions are there, but we are able to experience all emotions at once, which is what we identify as ease. When we become dominant by a particular emotion, we have to maintain that. And then we go at the end of that emotion, we go into another emotion and we become very up and down. We become reactive. When you get to an integrated state, and I'm not talking about a higher frequency, because there's nothing external to you that's going to raise you up. It's just the continual integration and understanding of your own self and getting it to a point that is autonomic. And what I mean by that, we don't think. Thinking happens to us. We don't pump blood. It happens autonomically. We don't grow our hair. It happens autonomically. What we are here to do is to be the example to our own self. And if we can recognize some simple steps on how to maintain that state of ease in every circumstance, we can then allow ourselves to become highly organized internally, where we recognize there's only one thing that we need to be focusing on. Not 100, not a list of to-dos, but all we need to be is, if we're at ease in every moment, we allow ourselves to operate at our highest capacity. The only time we become not at ease is when we become confronted by something we don't understand, a new strategy, a new ideal, a new method. And this usually comes from subscribing to what the market demands. It's a distraction away from being present right now and being able to maintain that. I mean, we've all had experience of heightened awareness and skill, but how do we maintain it? And how do we maintain it in a way that's unique to me? Not in a way that this person or that person did. So I would suggest emotions are simply there. Like, I'd look at it like a red dash light coming on in your car. And that dash light's coming on to say, you're not present. You only need at this moment to get present and become aware of the relationship with yourself. And in that moment is when you have a congruency of power, congruency of awareness. And if we can do that one thing consistently, it eventually becomes autonomic. So we're not doing the same process over and over again. And I mean, this is a thing I'd say most of your listeners, you know, through their own seeking of learning and knowledge, they may have a toolbox of things that they go to in a certain circumstance. They use this strategy. When they're not feeling that well, they use this, and a whole range of things. To me, that's a confusion. Within each of us, it's the simplicity of something we can replicate and enjoy replicating, not something we have to do by force, not some method or practice that someone else created through their own experience. And I think with best intentions, and I've been a part of this as well, many people out there are teaching what worked for them, their experience, and then providing it and capturing in a program to assist others, which is great. But ultimately, it's the understanding that's what worked for them. There's nothing to say that that's ever going to work for anyone else. My focus has always been to have something that works all the time, every time. But it's the first part. It's not about, you know, achieving anything except for a relationship with yourself in each and every moment. And not having to work at that, not having to meditate. I mean, these types of practices to me are all externalized practices. You know, we can't be in life and say, I like what you're saying, and this is a big decision for me. Let me go and meditate on that and I'll come back to you. Life doesn't work like that. We're a very evolved beings. We need to be able to be aware of how we can be in the moment consistently and regularly to go beyond whatever is challenging us at that point.
So this also sounds like being really authentic within yourself, and you're saying that this can just become unconscious conditioning, where you're not having to think about it, you're not having to use your willpower. It's just who you become naturally, just like we breathe naturally and we think naturally and our hair grows naturally. This also becomes a part of our natural makeup.
Yeah, I'd probably discern that just as a different word as something that's native rather than natural, but something that happens without effort. Now, I'm not saying that this is just a magic solution. I would say that what I teach challenges the hell out of people. And it requires, if someone really wants to learn, it's not meant to make sense to them. Because if it makes sense to them, well, what are they learning it for? What I really work upon is that when you start to get to a point where you confront a level of truth within yourself, you have to let go of all those things that have supported you up until this point. And many of us, our greatest issue in moving forward is not about looking stupid in front of others. It's the fact that we're not prepared to let go of those things that have created the identity that allows us to be accepted by others.
Is this what they refer to as detachment and enlightenment? I mean, because you look at spiritual texts and traditional wisdom and philosophy that talks about detachment and, just getting to that enlightenment stage where you don't have any attachment. Because, you know, even Dr. Hawkins, I don't know if you read the book Transcending the Levels of Consciousness, he talks about the highest vibrationary state is a state of complete detachment and joy or peace. Is that kind of where this is leading to? Because as you said, for the average person, you know, a lot of people have been conditioned to go and make a living, to use the conscious faculties of their mind, and not really have an understanding of them identifying themselves as an energetic being. Can you just put that in context a little bit? Because some of the people that are going to listen to this podcast would have been familiar with some of those concepts that you talk about, and some of them would have no idea. So it's just where does this, you know, how can a person? Why does a person need to learn this? And what are the benefits for them?
Well, there's no one has to learn this, and I would never try to convince someone to learn this. That they'll know at their point where what they're doing at the moment either serves them or not. And for most of us, one of the greatest challenges we have is that ability to ask the questions that we're not prepared to put ourselves in a vulnerable state. Now, true learning can only happen from a vulnerable state where we release everything that supports us at this moment to be present to new information. Now, as we were a kid, we used to do that openly and freely because we didn't have an identity to live up to. You see, you probably find that as people get older, and just listen to people in conversations, is as they get older, they have answers. They don't have questions. And I would suggest that someone's capacity to grow, and I love working with entrepreneurs, and that excites me because they're, and children, because the key things with those two areas of our community, the key difference is that they ask questions that other people are not prepared to ask. So, I've read in my life maybe 2.5-3 books. I've picked up an occasional book and I've intuitively read what I felt that I needed at that time. But I don't buy into the fact that if I keep subscribing to external information, I'm then never going to understand and recognize that I'm the one that's always making the choices. It doesn't matter what information gets provided to me. I mean, we could both read the same book, but we'll make very different choices based upon that. Ultimately, the decision lies with you. So until we can have that relationship with ourselves, and we're going to continue to keep trying to replicate and fit and force something into our life that doesn't fit. And in the midst of that, there's something internally screaming out, saying this way or that way. But if we're not listening to that, if we're not present to that, we become lost. And I would even suggest for yourself or even some of your listeners, there was a guy named Richard Buck, and he intimated this particular idea in the late 1880s. He was a top doctor, psychologist of the time. He talked about the seven senses. Now, if you're prepared to do the research, and I mean really do the research, you'll find that there's information that talks about the seven senses. Now, I was given this and provided it to me at a young age. And they talked about it as if it was normal. And they talked about intuition and imagination. Now, I would suggest to you in a state of confidence, you are intuitive. You do have imagination and you trust that. That becomes a part of the whole. When we're in a very challenged state, we use part of our senses. Like we look at something and we judge it. We hear something and we judge it. When we're in a more clarified and observant state, we'll take in a greater level of information before we make a decision or a choice to move forward. So it's really, to me, important to understand that everything that I'm suggesting here, it might sound different or even for some people complex. The real key to this is how simple it really is, because the evidence is already within you. The problem is how often we get distracted by what we're led to believe and what we've been told, that we need to go out. This is the way to do things. And we follow everyone else's methods. And for me, I suppose the benefits that people get out of this, it goes beyond their life. It goes beyond, the one common thing that all of my clients say to me is there's nothing that you could have explained to me that would have given me an insight into what I was going to learn, because I never thought in this way. I never saw things in this way. And I would suggest to you that the people I work with, they don't follow traditional ideas of marketing. They don't follow traditional ideals of dietary requirements, food and health. They understand that all of that information is within them. The only challenge that they need to focus upon and prioritize is themselves. And once they can do that, they can provide an example to others to do the same and give them the permission to prioritize themselves. Like, we've all got an amazing thing to contribute. But if we never connect with that, if we never stay present to that, and I mean, not occasionally, but all the time, we get lost. The issue has been the confusion around how this is taught. To me, I don't teach people to do what I'm doing. I expect them to do things their own way. And I only teach one program. I do teach it in different levels, but it's because people only need to have an understanding on how to get information from themselves. Once they've got that, they'll become their own authority. And then they can go and apply NLP, a dietary idea, a relationship advice in a way that is relevant to them. Because here's to me a key thing is information is everywhere, but information is the greatest burden that besets us at the moment. However, information only becomes intelligence when we can discern its relevance to us in that moment. And that particular part of that information is relevant to us, not the 400 pages of a book that we then have to go and feel obliged or burdened to apply. The most people say, well, if I just get one thing out of a book, I'd be happy. I mean, to me, that's crazy. Why not develop the skills that you have that are inherent, that are not native within you? But my suggestion is, to me, ultimately, I'd consider myself lazy. And I've always looked at things, why can't we just do things once, do them the right way in a way that serves me, so I don't need to do it again and again. I don't like playing those games. And I imagine most people don't, but they don't see it any other way. So, I mean, why people would do this is to be at any moment in a state of ease, to lead to how you can make more income, to lead to how you can develop a business the way you want to do it. My clients don't follow traditional methods. They access a higher level of thought frequency and they ask themselves a question because they understand the capacity they have within themselves goes beyond what anyone can teach them. And then they learn the courage and how to trust that and act upon it through to a point of completion. And that's all we need to be doing. I think, look, for most of us, we make decisions or choices. If we follow that through to completion, well, there's nothing else. The issue is we become so distracted along the way after we make that decision that we decide to make another decision or another choice. And then we go around in a habit of non-completion where we have many projects, we become busy, which satisfies the ego, but we're not living in a state of ease. To me, if my clients are working more than 15 hours a week, not by choice, there's something that's not aligning. There's some sort of force that's going on within themselves that they're not drawing out to bring to a greater capacity in their own life. And I know for some people that's challenging, and I expect some of this information to confront people. But that confronts people because it intersects with the level of misunderstanding that they may be currently buying into. And I'm suggesting everyone's got, the thing I love about what I've been lucky enough to be involved with this particular teaching is that people go beyond me. The amount of clients I have that apply what I have beyond my capacity and my results is probably 80, 90% of it because of the type of people I work with. But because this nature is not about them following my script, not about them following my method or referring back to me. It's getting to a point where they understand all the resources they need are within. And the only small thing I teach is how to access that consistently and regularly, but more importantly, how to maintain that.
Yeah, by asking the right questions.
Yeah.
And even the questions, even to know what kind of questions to ask would come from a place of being connected within yourself. And I understand, I mean, we talked about the seventh sense. There's actually a book called The Seventh Sense where a lot of research has been done by the Columbian Business School. And they cite various examples of people not just tapping into their intuitive senses or even their imagination, but literally downloading information from the source at a time when they're very relaxed because they've become that person. So when you become that person, the frequency at which you download that information increases. And it's good to know that there is a way that people can do that at will, because you're right. Even when people, I consider myself to be highly intuitive and I look for information outside, but I decide, I just have an inner voice telling me that this is what I need. But yeah, there are, you know, I always think it'd be nice if I can just tap into it at will, without force, without will, because I can feel that resistance. And you talk about allowing. I love the word allowing, because that's the difference between allowing and resisting. And the moment you're trying something, you're not allowing anymore. And this is what really people struggle, because you can't try allowing. Allowing is just something that happens. And it's so interesting that what you talk about is so simple, yet we have come so far away from simplicity that now for us to reconnect back with ourselves is such an effort, because we're over-reliant on our conscious faculties and over-reliant on looking for information outside and over-reliant on seeking answers and asking questions. That for a lot of people, it's a struggle. And I've had to unlearn a lot of things because of the way I was conditioned to source information. And to now allow things, and it's there are times when it's still difficult.
I think most of us though have become, we look at our lives and look at the distance between what we want to create or what we believe we have to create to be successful or perfect or loving, and we've complicated that to such a degree because we've not been able to consistently achieve what we want that we a simple. Solution applies. Now I look at the idea that I saw someone recently, and for a very high investment, they were offering to teach two things. Now there was another opportunity with someone else in the same field for about the same amount of money, had a 3 or 4 pages of what they were going to teach and how they were going to do it. And there's all this value and bonuses that were going into it. Now, for most of us, what would apply to our ego and our complicated state that we've got into is this one with all, look at the value we've got here. But why? I mean, why do we need all that information? If someone could teach me two things, it's going to get me to a point. Why do I want to learn all these things to hold myself back? The real simplicity and the real power is in simplicity. But it's what remains after all the confusion. And maybe it's just something for people to look at in their own life. It's that complication that they've created. And I think, you know, for most of us, I look at it in a simple way as well. It's, I don't believe people are scared of failing. I don't believe they're scared of success. What people are tired of is not knowing how to get back up. We all fall down. We're going to fall down in every particular moment of our life. Doesn't matter how conscious we become. As we become confronted by something new or something that inspires us, there's going to be a moment where we perceivably fall down. The only thing we need to know is how to get back up. If we know how to get back up, we'll start taking advancements, leaps, and jumps forward at quantum levels beyond the incremental amount that we allow ourselves to conditionally grow, like a level of inflation. So it's not about the failure, it's about understanding. If we truly understood that no matter what confronts me, no matter what happens, when I make this choice, if this doesn't work out, if I know how to get back up, to get to that state of ease and to be complete in that moment, well, it doesn't matter what step I take. It's just knowing that one thing, not the tools, not a whole range of a philosophy or a method, but understanding that from yourself. That's my perspective anyway.
It's profound, and it does sound very enlightening. In the respect of, I've always been fascinated when you talk, and I always say to you that it's pretty incredible that we rely on information so much, and some of the greatest insights can come from within us. And you're right about simplicity as well. You know, anyone can make things complex, but you know, wisdom is really about making things simple. And it's a shame that. Something as simple as getting back in touch with ourselves and knowing who we are and knowing the essence of what we are has become a complicated matter. Now you have to go through, all this unlearning to get back to that point. Yeah. If people want to find out more about, because I know that you don't have you don't keep an online presence because you don't believe in, marketing yourself and and promoting yourself in the conventional ways. How do people get in touch with you if they want to find out about your how you can help them reconnect? What is the way that they can get in touch with you?
Well, what I'll be putting up online just for the purpose of this podcast is a, let's just say for lack of a better word, an inquiry form. And that the address of that is www.quantumu, and that's quantum with a U, not the word U. So quantumu.net/successful mail. Now that'll be up there. There'll be a little bit of information, but all I'm looking for people there is just to register an interest. I intend, depending upon the amount of numbers that we do get for that, is that I'm happy to go through and do a webinar where I can answer questions and explain a little bit deeper if people are wanting to know more. But more so, I'm happy to, you know, in time speak to people and answer any specific questions they have through that. But our team will get in contact with them, and that's probably the easiest way at this stage.
Well, thank you, Jason. It's your truth shines through, and it's always a pleasure talking to you because, you know, you make me think, even though that may not be the right thing for me to do, is right now be thinking. And this is, and just, but I really enjoyed the conversation. And, you know, it's, you know, you become over a period of time, you do have this consciousness to see resistance building in you, and, or when you are in a natural state of flow. But you're right. It's, you know, I've gotten to myself to a point where, you know, meditation is still one of those things that I do rather than something that just comes to me naturally. And, you know, it's just about constant involvement for me. But thank you so much for your time. It's a pleasure to have you on board. And if you're listening to the podcast, please, I think it'd be a great opportunity for you to make use of the opportunity that Jason's made available for the community as a successful male. And we thank Jason for that. Jason, all the best with what you're doing, and I hope you keep changing lives by putting people back in touch with who they really are. All the best, and stay in touch.
Thank you very much, Ron, and thank you for the service you're providing to everyone out there as well. It's amazing, and thank you for having me.
Pleasure. Thank you.